Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about triumphing in Christ. We're going to be taking a look at some scriptures today, talking about how God always causes us to triumph. He leads us in triumphal procession. Think of it like a parade. He's leading us out, triumphing in Christ. And it gives us this example in the Old Testament, because right now we're getting close to the Feast of Passover. We're less than a week away from Passover. And every time of year, it seems like God keeps bringing this back to mind every year around this time. This passage of scripture in the book of Numbers, I think it's Numbers chapter 33, 3. It says that after the Passover, the people marched triumphantly out of Egypt while the Egyptians were burying their dead after the Passover. And it's just this picture of how God always causes us to triumph in Christ. So why are we taking communion every day? About 10 years ago, I was reading in the book of Proverbs one morning, and Proverbs 13:22 just seemed to jump off the page at me. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And that verse got me thinking, what's the most powerful thing that we can pass on to future generations? And after some time of thinking about this and meditating on it, I came to the conclusion the most valuable thing we can pass on would be wisdom or teaching or training for how to truly live. How do we walk out this life that God has given us? And I made it my goal. I made a commitment that day. So I'm going to create systems and teaching and training for every area of life. And really, when I got started, I had no clue where to start. I was running my personal training gym business at the time, and life was just very up and down. I needed some help just in my own life. I really didn't have much spiritual life at that point. I was just getting started in my walk with God. But God has been so faithful to just show up and teach me and train me. And over the course of 10 years now, it's turned into this program we have called the Abundant Life Blueprint. And in the Abundant Life Blueprint, we have teaching and training for every area of life. But out of everything we do, the most important thing is daily communion with Jesus. Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember me. It's this opportunity to stir his sacrifice into our remembrance, to stir this concept we're talking about today, that he always causes us to triumph in him. Helps us to abide in him so that our lives produce much fruit. The Apostle Paul says, every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus, which in the case of a will or an inheritance, nothing happens until we prove the death. So in a way, communion is like an activation of all these benefits that are found in the new covenant. It's this opportunity to receive these promises from God and to activate them, make them relevant and alive and be walking them out in our lives. And we can combine the spiritual principles of his sacrifice, pull that into our soul, into our mind and remembrance and imagination, and combine it with something practical and physical that we actually do in the taking of the cracker and the juice to unite our entire spirit, soul, and physical body together. But it's also important we take it the right way. Every time we take communion, we take it with the fear of the Lord, with deep honor and reverence and respect and appreciation for the sacrifice of Jesus. And I think it's important, you know, Jesus says, remember me. I think it's important to do two sides of the cross here. On one side, we visualize and remember and imagine and put our faith and trust in his sacrifice. He was crushed. It pleased God to crush him. He was pierced. He was bruised. By his stripes, we've been healed. He went through some very bad suffering, probably more than we would ever know. On the cross, he was separated from God. But on the other side of that, I think it's also important that we remember who he made us to be. That because of him, we're right and holy and perfect in God's sight. We've got this new covenant with him where all the promises in Christ are yes and amen. And to remember both sides of that, all that he went through and what that did for us. What are the benefits of this new covenant that was given to us? So the process we typically use, we'd start with about a 2-minute long prayer. That's mostly scripture coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to examine ourselves because the Apostle Paul says some people are weak and sick and they die early because they don't examine or judge themselves. They don't discern the body before taking communion. And so thinking about that, if communion has the power to do that in the negative, I believe it also has the power to do the opposite of that in the positive, to make you healthy and strong and give you a long life when we take it the right way and out of honor and appreciation for him and just awe for him. And then after our time of communion, we've been talking about some practical physical workout tips and advice. Because I truly believe physical exercise is one of the greatest ways for us to practice exercising our faith. It's a way for us to practice receiving this grace by faith and to get it flowing through us where God's doing the work. And then once we understand how to apply that, we can take that and apply it into all the other areas of our lives as well. So let's get started with our prayer. And then we'll get into our time of communion after that. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, all those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. And I thank you for releasing us from darkness and transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time ever began. And I thank you that Jesus was smitten by you so that you could fight for us. You could be an enemy to our enemies. And I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us, and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe, the same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Father, I ask you to bless us, to make your face shine upon us and let us find grace and favor in your eyes, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to send us opportunities today to do good and be a blessing, and help us be sensitive to those opportunities. I ask you to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. We ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. All right, so we're going to go through the other half of prayer. This is what we talk about. Are we making today a masterpiece? And how are we going to do that? We're going to get connected to the master, because we have to have this eternal perspective with God, this personal relationship with him. But that relationship's got to be brought down into today to impact every area of our lives today. The things that we do, the decisions we make, the things we speak, the things we're thinking about. That's what we talk about, executing these four fundamentals and bringing some presence and some fun and some energy into these fundamentals today. So our first one, they got to get positioned in the light. This is the on-off switch. Either the lights are on or they're not. We're either in the light or we're in the darkness. And when we take our position in the light, this helps us to be able to receive all that God has for us. Think about in the sport of football. If the receiver runs the wrong way and he's out of position, he's not in position to catch the ball. When we're in position, we can receive. So how are we going to do this? We're going to start with humility. And remember, this has to happen every single day. We got to keep redoing this every single day. We're going to start with humility. We're going to humble ourselves in relationship to God, humble ourselves in relationship to other people, because it's the humble who are given grace. It's the humble who are exalted and promoted. And we're going to receive this forgiveness from God. We're going to let it flow through us. We're going to forgive ourselves. We're going to stop beating ourselves up and condemning ourselves, putting excess pressure on ourselves. And we're going to let that flow through us to other people, giving them the same love and grace and forgiveness that God has given us. And we're going to take our position in love today, because faith works through love. Kind and patient and gentle, always assuming the best, keeping no record of wrongs, delighting in the truth, always hoping, always trusting, always persevering, because love never fails. And we're going to take our position in gratitude and praise today. This is one of the easiest ways to keep your position all day long, is to stay positioned in gratitude and praise, one of the greatest expressions of faith. And when we take our position, we're in position to receive. We're stepping into the light. We're stepping into Christ. And God has taken everything that he has, and he gave it all to Jesus. because he was worthy and he was deserving of it. And we have this amazing opportunity that we get to be in him today. So this day today, we have this access to this unlimited, inexhaustible supply of everything that God has. I like to call it a pipeline of living water. It's got his spirit and power and presence, his love and peace and joy, his mind and wisdom, his purpose and kingdom, his health and energy, time and finances, you name it, it's all in there. And it's more than enough for whatever we need today. And we have to learn how to receive this. We've got to get in position to receive and get this flowing through us in our lives. So the first step is to get in position. And then we're going to start to magnify the light is the second step. We're going to turn up the brightness of it. Jesus says, be careful that the light that is within you doesn't become darkness. This is like the dimmer switch. We're going to turn up the brightness. And this is going to allow all this, these good things that God put within us to begin to flow with us. It's going to expand that capacity where more and more can flow through us. It also gets this new covenant established in our hearts where we understand it. We develop this understanding of the new covenant where it gets established in our hearts. And we become more fixed and consistent and immovable, steadfast in it. And it's all about what we focus on. Where's our focus and attention throughout the day? What are the things that we're magnifying? I think of it as meditation, which means constant repetition. What are the things that I'm rolling over in my mind all throughout the day? What are the things I'm consistently speaking about all throughout the day? The consistent actions that I'm taking. What am I magnifying? So to magnify the light, we can magnify God's word. Be thinking about it and talking about it, diligently studying his word, magnifying his unfailing love and faithfulness. His mighty works that he always causes us to triumph. That's something we can magnify today. He always causes us to triumph in Christ. We can magnify our righteousness in him. We've got peace with God. We've got his blessing and favor on our lives. And we can magnify every good thing that he put within us. We've got this treasure in jars of clay. Everything needed for life and godliness is already on the inside of us. And we can just stay focused on all the things that are going well and look back at all that God has already done. Because what he started, he's going to finish. He's going to see it through to completion. He's going to sustain it by the power of his word. Now, this is not denying that there's issues or problems. It's choosing not to magnify them. We get these issues and problems in our lives, and we just stay stuck on them, meditating on them, rolling them over in our minds. Rather than magnifying God, this is what we're going to do. We're going to bring them to God, and we're going to magnify God as bigger than those issues and problems. But he does give us a choice. We could choose not to do any of this. He gives us free will. We could stay stuck in pride and rebellion, insisting on our own way. Bitterness, unforgiveness, venting, complaining, pouting, and just toiling away in our own minds, trying to figure it all out rather than resting and trusting in God. And that's where we got to recognize the symptoms. When we're in darkness, we're magnifying the wrong things. There might be the tendency to snap at people or retaliate at people. Feel pressured, we feel hurried, we feel just all this excess pressure on us. We might withhold good things that we know to do or avoid people or give them the silent treatment because they did something we didn't like. And there's just all this weight and pressure on you. You might have feelings of hopelessness or helplessness, like you're trapped or you're stuck. And it seems like there's no way out. Low energy is another big symptom of this. I think of it like a black hole. It just sucks the energy right out of you. Then emotionally, there's the fear and stress and worry, kind of the torment in your minds. We're just meditating on the problems over and over again. Dreading things in the future. Confusion. Because remember, in the darkness, you can't see. But when we take our position in the light, there's this rest in our soul. There's this fullness in him. And when we rest, God goes to work. When we rest, he goes to work, and now everything is free and easy and effortless. Your faith and confidence and courage and energy all just begin to rise up. You feel this peace and joy and love and spirit and power as mind and wisdom all begin to flow through you. And now all of a sudden, we've got hope in any and every situation because we've got God with us, and he always causes us to triumph. And if all this weren't enough, God gives us this amazing gift of grace. If we ever get off track, it just takes a moment to turn it right back around. Because life's throwing stuff at us every day to try to knock us out of position, to try to get us to magnify the wrong things. And sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we need that grace to be able to turn it back around again. And it's learning to recognize those symptoms and turn it around quickly. This is a skill set that we can develop. We recognize the symptoms and then we bring it to God. How do we turn it around? We start with humility. Humility to get back in position. Father, I'm off track right now. I've missed it. Forgive me. We receive that forgiveness from Him. We forgive ourselves and stop beating ourselves up over it. We reconcile with other people. Maybe we need to say we're sorry or take some steps to reconcile with other people. And then we start praising and thanking Him for His grace and His goodness and His love. And I like to pray this very simple prayer. Father, thank you that what you put in me is more than enough to handle whatever's coming my way today with beauty and poise and grace. Help me to tap into it and cultivate it at a greater level. And you pray that very simple prayer. You'll feel this immediate shift on the inside. The weight will lift off of you. Feel the peace and the joy and the love just begin to flow through you again. And then our third fundamental, we're going to stay tuned in today. Every day God's trying to teach us and train us and guide us, but we've got to stay tuned into Him. My favorite way to do this is with the journal before bed. And lately we've talked about it, the very top of your journal, installing some filters into our life. We talked about picking one for the month of this month of April. And to make it very simple, it would be installing just a short phrase that you keep writing every night at the top of your journal that serves as like true north on a compass, helps guide your decision-making throughout the day. So it might be a phrase just as simple as this. God's doing continually good for me. And I'm going to do the same for others. And that serves as your filter for guiding us throughout the day. Because when someone does something that maybe pushes your buttons, I've got that filter that says, you know what? God still loves me. He still does good for me when I push His buttons. And I'm going to do the same for other people. And that serves to guide us and navigate us throughout the day to keep us on track. And then I like to start with gratitude and praise to get my positioning. And then I like to magnify what went well today. What are all the ways that God was showing up today? Because the more you look for them, the more of them you're going to see. And then I like to ask this question, God, what were you trying to show me today? And just get still and listen for a couple minutes. And whatever comes into my mind, just begin to write that down. It's important to get it out of our heads and onto the paper because it helps us to remember and not forget. And then we've got to stay tuned in as we go throughout the day. Just aware of His presence with you as you're going through the day. If you ever feel like you're losing that connection with Him, just slow down for a minute or two. It doesn't take long. Get connected, get powered back up in Him again. Think of it like plugging in our phone. Sometimes you got to plug in your phone to get charged up again. And then the final thing I've learned to do in my journal is to plan out the upcoming day with God. And I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? Because sometimes I was getting out ahead of God. I was trying to toil away in my mind, trying to figure everything out, trying to force things to happen, taking actions on things that I didn't really know to do yet. On the other side, sometimes I was procrastinating. I would get behind God. There were things that I knew to do, but I wasn't taking action. And I'm getting behind Him. So I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? And that becomes the plan for the day. We write it out. It's usually a bullet point list of maybe 5 to 10 things. And then we wake up like a kid on Christmas morning, excited for the day, because this is the day that the Lord has made. And I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. First thing in the morning, we get connected to Him, start magnifying Him and praising Him, get connected with Him and His word. Then we start walking out that plan together in partnership with Him today with a willing heart and a good attitude and full confidence in Him. He's right there with us every step of the way. And when we get to that place of that simple, childlike, confident faith, all the doubt and unbelief removed, this grace begins to surge through us. And God begins to go to work. He begins to go to work and beautify our lives. And beauty is attractive and magnetic and just begins to pull more and more of everything God has for us into our lives. So let's take a look at these scriptures today. about triumphing in Christ. So this started, I'm thinking of this year. My daughter is reading a book, actually. We're reading one of the Magic Treehouse books for school. And she's reading the one about Egypt and mummies and pharaohs. And it's got this picture of the people lined up and talking about, they look like they're in a parade. And God just begins to remind me, because it seems like every year, right around this time, as we get close to Passover, he keeps bringing these scriptures to mind. So I'm going to start. I'm going to jump down to the second one here first. It says Numbers 33:3. The Israelites set out from Ramesses in the first month on the 15th day of the first month. Now, keep in mind, their calendar was a little different than ours, but actually Passover happens on the 15th of April this year. On the day after the Passover, the people of Israel went out triumphantly. Some versions say defiantly. Some versions say boldly in the sight of all the Egyptians. And then it says while they were burying their dead. So the Passover just happened. God had killed all of their firstborn. And the people march out triumphantly in the sight of all them, right in their sight. They just march out right in front of them, boldly and defiantly. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession." He's got this parade. He's just leading us through and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. Thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. And then we have Colossians 2:13 through 15. It says, "When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh," which means what? We didn't have a covenant with God. We were dead in our sins and we had no covenant with God. We had no hope. God made you alive in Christ. He forgave us all of our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He's taking it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities. Now, these are not people. These are spiritual forces we've talked about that are coming against us. He made a public spectacle of them. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Triumphing over them by the cross. So, Father, we're just so thankful for you. We were dead in our sins. We had no covenant with you. You forgave us our sins. You gave us this covenant, this new covenant with you in the body and blood of Jesus. And we thank you that you always cause us to triumph in him. You lead us in triumphal procession, boldly, defiantly, always causing us to triumph. Just a time to be receiving this from you today. Other versions and other scriptures say you always give us the victory in Christ. You always give us the victory. You always cause us to triumph. We thank you for this, reminders of this today. We thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's remember both sides of this. Number one, on one side, he was crushed. He was bruised. He was smitten by God, as we said. By his stripes, we've been healed. He was pierced. You look at this bread, it's got piercings on it. It's got stripes on it. It's got burn marks or almost bruise marks on it. The reminder of what he went through for us on the cross. But on the other side, we got to remember who he made us to be. He makes us right and holy and perfect with God. He forgave us all of our sins. He always causes us to triumph in him. We got this new covenant now with God. The cup of God's wrath was poured onto the body of Jesus so that we could have the cup of his blessing in our lives. So, Father, we thank you for this bread and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, this is the cup of the new covenant. In my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many. It's that forgiveness of sins that brings us into the light. We can have this personal covenant relationship with God. We can know him. And that's what it's all about. So, Father, we thank you for this cup that you always cause us to triumph. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have a juice, you can take a juice. Okay. Let's talk about some workout stuff. When the people marched out, we just said, some of the versions say they had boldness or confidence as they're marching out, right in full sight of the Egyptians. One of the things we talk about, we did an implementation workshop, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8 weeks ago, talking about implementing the daily communion workouts that we have. If you don't have the workouts, you can go to our website, theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com. If you get on our email list there, you'll get access to the daily communion workouts. And we do a lot of repetition. Think of it like a communion meditation workout. A lot of repetition. We're practicing the fundamentals of fitness. And one of the goals is, how do you get to this place where you triumph? I think you have to get to this place of boldness and confidence. And one of the ways for us to practice this is, we want to practice and practice and practice till you get to this place where you have confidence that whatever exercise I'm doing at whatever level of weight or resistance or whatever it may be, I can do it confidently. When you get to this place of this confidence, it's like all of a sudden you hit this surge and you make a ton of progress really quickly. But for a while there, it's like we're wavering back and forth. We're not to this place of boldness and confidence. We're kind of wavering. We're not all the way in just yet. But after enough practice, after enough repetition, it gets to this place of confidence. And when you get to that place of confidence, you surge really quickly in your progress. And so if it feels like, you know, I'm not making a ton of progress yet, it's usually just a matter of practicing those fundamentals a little more till you get to that place where you have a new level of confidence in them. And then all of a sudden you surge up again. I hope this has been helpful for you today. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to the Abundant Life Training Center. .com